Let us look to the Lord for a moment. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the wonderful love that has been bestowed upon us, been offered full and free to whosoever will. The marvel of it is that so few proportionately have reached out and accepted that free gift. How they expect to be in God's presence is beyond me. The Lord could say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And yet they have every other idea under the sun. Yet it's contrary to the Word of God. We find the Word says, enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be that go in thereat, because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. How terrible, how sad. And yet this is the truth. We pray that Thou wouldst open the spiritual hearts and minds of each of us if we go into Thy Word, that the words there, and possibly the words spoken, might have the effect, desired effect on hearer and speaker alike, that we might be conformed unto His image, that others might see Christ in us. And again, we think of those that have been laid aside with illness. We ask of us Thy mind and will, that they might be raised up, and that the bereaved might be comforted. These things we ask in His name and for His sake. Amen. Now, this is a rather long portion from chapter 5 through 8. We can't very well just stay in one place. What we'll do is the Lord opens the door. Now in Esther, you'll find that God's name is nowhere spoken or written. There's nothing there that literally infers to God. But as you read through it, you can see God behind the scenes. Things don't happen just happening. God allows them, God directs them. Even in our own lives, sometimes we wonder why some of the things happen the way they do. So let us start with the beginning of chapter 5. Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house, opposite the king's house. And the king sat upon his throne in the royal house opposite the entrance of the house. Now this could mean her life. These kings, she was the favorite, she was the number one. Vashti, of course, had been put to the side. But even the queen did not come into the king's presence without being called. And her uncle, her cousin, had told her she would have to do this, or her nation, her people, would be wiped out. That makes us think of our Lord, doesn't it? Mankind as a whole were lost. The Lord God could say, here am I, send me. When the question was posed, who will go for us and who shall we send? Another place it says, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. That's what we're here for. That's what we're looking at the Word for our learning, that we might be drawn to the Lord, that we might be used of the Lord. So when Vashti went into this entrance area, if the king didn't raise his scepter to her, she was dead. Just like that. All he had to do is don't pay any attention to her, and she was dead. But her uncle, or cousin rather, said that if she didn't do it, someone else would have to do it. But God would do it somehow. Verse 2. And so it was when the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. And so Esther drew near and touch the top of the scepter. A little note here. The Lord's scepter is held out to all saints at all times. We're expected and we're asked to come before the throne of grace. When? At all times. That we might find favor and grace to take care of our problems day by day. Proverbs 21:1. I'm a little on the blank side this morning, so I'd better look at it. Proverbs 21:1. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. That can be applied to the leaders of our nation as well. And if our president goes ahead with what he believes God would have him to do, God will overrule some of these men that are opposing him. Some way, somehow, he'll overrule them. Possibly they will, as it were, vote for his agenda, whatever it is. But we are to pray for our leaders that they would use the wisdom of God, and particularly, here's a man that claims, and from all indication, he is a brother in Christ. He may not have the knowledge that we have, but the Lord uses us according to the light that we have. Did you ever stop and think that sometimes the assemblies are not being used like they used to be used? Why? Because they have plenty of light and they're not using it. More light than the majority. T. Ernest Wilson was back from the mission field, and we were speaking to him at the back of a building where he was speaking. And he said, if you went into the homes of these big radio preachers, the sound ones, they're not all assemblymen. But he said, if you look at their libraries and see what they're reading the writings of men that were in the assemblies. And the shame of it is, you can go into many of the homes of those that belong to Christ and look at their libraries. And a lot of them have much of the secular Christendom, sad to say. In Daniel 4:25, the Most High God in the kingdom of men. He rules. Most High God ruleth in the kingdom of men. Many times we look out there and we see what's taking place and we wonder, but God is still in control. God was in control here. It looked like he wasn't. All of the Jews were about to be killed. So she stepped into this place. Verse 3, then said the queen unto her, king unto her, what wilt thou, Queen Esther, and what is thy request? It shall be even given unto thee to the half of thy kingdom. Well, we won't look at the verse, but Matthew 21:22, the Lord doesn't say half. It's whatsoever we ask. And all it has to do is be in his will. And if we're living the way we should, our mind will be in the will of God. Whatever we do, whatever we say, wherever we go, it should all be done in a way that would be pleasing to our God. He doesn't give half of what we would ask. He said all. Let's look at it, just be on the safe side. Matthew 21. Matthew 21, verse 22. And all things, whatever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Didn't say half of them, said all of them. And if we do it in the will of God, there's no reason for us not to believe. But many of our prayers are spoken or prayed unadvisedly, It's for me. And our culture today is me, 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 always me. For you and I, whatever is done should be done to the glory of God. Verse 4, and Esther answered, if it seem good unto the king, let the king and Haman come this day unto the banquet that I have prepared for him. Now, Haman was the, what would you call him today, the prime minister. And he got there very spectacularly. And he was a very slick talker. A little later, we find how the king is discerning the evilness and the slickness of him. It didn't appear like that way, but you'll see it. Verse 5. Then the king said, cause Haman to make haste, that he may do as Esther hath said. So the king and Haman came to the banquet that Esther prepared. And the king said unto Esther at the banquet of wine, what is thy petition? And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? Even to the half of the kingdom it shall be performed. Then answered Esther, my petition and my request is, if I have found favor in the sight of the king, and if it please the king to grant my petition and to perform my request, let the king and Haman come to the banquet that I will prepare for them, and I will do tomorrow as the king has said. Now, she had no idea. I don't know why she did this, but she had no idea what was going to take place. God knew. Things were taking place in the next 24 hours that really would stagger your imagination. Nevertheless, Haman restrained himself when he came home and sent... Oh, I missed a verse. Go up to 9. Then went Haman forth that day joyful with a glad heart. But when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate, that he stood not up nor trembled before him, he was full of indignation against Mordecai. Actually, hatred. Nevertheless, Haman restrained himself when he came home and sent and called for his friends and Zeresh, his wife. And Haman told them of all of the glory of his riches and the multitude of his children and all of the things in which the king had promoted him and how he had advanced him above the princes and servants of the king. Haman said, moreover, yea, Esther the queen did let no man come in with the king unto the banquet that she had prepared for myself. And tomorrow I am invited unto her also with the king. Yet all of this prevailed me nothing, as long as I see Mordecai, the Jew, sitting at the king's gate. Then said Zeresh, his wife, and all his friends unto him, let a gallows be made of 50 cubits high. Now, some people say that's 80 feet, but cubits normally a foot and a half, so it would be 70 feet, 75 feet, 50 cubits high. And tomorrow speak thou unto the king, that Mordecai may be hanged on it. Then go thou in merrily with the king into the banquet. And the king and the thing pleased Haman. He caused the gallows to be made. Now, on that night, could not the king sleep. Now, isn't this amazing? I wonder if maybe Haman couldn't sleep either. He was all tickled to death what's going to take place tomorrow. He was going in with the king to have banquet with the queen. He was going to hang Mordecai. All set up. But the Lord had something else. The king couldn't sleep. And he commanded to be brought the book of the records of the Chronicles, that they were read before the king. Now, did he do this so that it would be so monotonous he might just fall asleep? And it was found written that Mordecai had told Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, the keepers of the door, who sought to lay hand on the king Ahasuerus. And the king said, what honor and dignity hath been bestowed upon Mordecai for this? Then said the king's servants who ministered under him, there has nothing been done for him. And the king said, who is in the court? Now Haman was come into the court, outer court of the king's house to speak unto the king to hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had prepared for him. He was in a big hurry to get this done and out of the way. And the king's servant said unto him, Behold, Haman standeth in the court. And the king said, Let him come in. Maybe the king realized what was taking place a little before this. I don't know. But possible. So Haman came in, and the king said unto him, What shall be done for the man whom the king delighteth to honor? Now remember, Haman had come up fast, and he seemed to be the prince of princes amongst the king's people. Now Haman thought in his heart, To whom would the king delight to honor more than to myself? And Haman answered the king, For the man whom the king delighteth to honor, let the royal apparel be brought which the king is accustomed to wear, and the horse that the king rideth upon, and the crown royal which is set upon his head. What more could be asked other than the kingdom? If I was the king, I'd be a little worried about a man talking like that. He wants looks like he wants everything and maybe the kingdom along with it. And let this apparel and horse be delivered to the man or the hand of one of the king's most noble princes, that they may array the man whom the king delighteth to honor, and bring him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaim before him, Thus shall it be done for the man whom the king delighteth to honor. Now certainly he was one of the number one princes, and he asked that a number one prince be used to proclaim this. Then the king said to Haman, Make haste, and take the apparel and the horse, as thou hast said, and do even so to Mordecai. Boy, his balloon burst. The Jew, who sitteth in the king's gate, let nothing fail of all that thou hast spoken. And mind you, if you didn't obey the king, you were gone. Then took Haman the apparel and the horse and arrayed Mordecai and brought him on horseback through the street of the city and proclaimed before him, Thus shall it be done for the man whom the king delighteth to honor. And Mordecai came again to the king's gate, but Haman hastened to his house, mourning and having his head covered. He was ashamed. Vain to ask permission to hang Mordecai now, after the king had done this. He's got this big gallows set up there, and there's no way he can ask the king to hang him. And Haman, verse 13, and Haman told Zeresh, his wife, and all his friends, everything that had befallen him. Then said his wise men to Zeresh, his wife, and Zeresh, his wife, unto him, If Mordecai is of the seed of the Jews, before whom thou hast begun to fall, then thou shalt not prevail against him, but shalt surely fall before him. Now, this was a group of people that 50 years before had the opportunity to go back to Jerusalem. But they stayed here in a foreign land. Because they were living comfortably. They didn't want to go there and do all the backbreaking work to get it going. That's what's happened to Israel this time. Many people have gone there years ago, before 1948, laboring and working, trying to make something out of a barren desert. And it wasn't long before it became a garden. And then the Arabs started wanting to get their hands on it. Verse 14. And while they were yet talking with him, came the king's chamberlains and hastened to bring Haman unto the banquet that Esther had prepared. Now, if this thing hadn't happened prior to this, I dare say Haman would have been already to the banquet. So he wasn't too quick about going before the king. Chapter 7. So the king and Haman came to the banquet with Esther, the queen. And the king said again unto Esther on the second day of the banquet of wine, What is thy petition, Queen Esther? And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? and it shall be performed, even to the half of the kingdom. The Lord says, whatsoever ye ask. But Esther was still a little leery. Haman, remember, had been raised to the highest station next to the king. And you're going to turn around and accuse him and have him done away with. She was evidently hesitant. Then Esther the queen answered and said, if I have found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition, and my people at my request. The king had no idea about the people being involved. The king didn't know she was a Jew or a Jewess. For we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish. I dare say the king's eyesight was being opened, and he was seeing exactly what Haman was up to. But if I have been sold for male or female slaves, I had held my tongue, although the enemy could not compensate for the king's damage. If they had been taken and sold as slaves, she'd have kept quiet. But for them to be destroyed. What was Satan trying to do? The more the Jews he destroyed, the less likely there would be a Messiah. And this was a large number of Jews under the power or under the control or the government of the Medo-Persians. I got a note here, the king's thought, his surprise, his anger, and I dare say Mr. Haman's fear. What's going to take place now? Then the king Ahasuerus said unto Esther the queen, who was he, where is he, who would presume in his heart to do so? In other words, her enemies are his enemies. Haman had no idea that she was a Jew either, or Jewish. And Esther said, the adversary, the enemy, is this wicked Haman. Then Haman was afraid before the king and queen. In Numbers, we find a verse 32, in chapter 32, verse 21, be sure your sin will find you out. Sooner or later, it'll be found out. And this is what's happening to Haman. And Esther said, the adversary of the enemy is this wicked Haman. Then Haman was afraid before the king and queen, and the king, arising from the banquet of wine in his wrath, went into the palace garden. He was so angry, he had to walk out. Here's this man that I've raised up to the highest station and given him everything but the crown. Other than when he got the jolt, all of a sudden it was Mordecai that was given these things. But he was the highest minister he had in his government. And all of a sudden, he finds out what this man is up to. And the king, arising from the banquet of wine, in his wrath, went into the palace garden, and the king stood up to make request for his life to Esther the queen. For he saw that evil was determined against him by the king. But he makes a very fatal mistake. See what he does. Now he's desperate for his life. Then the king returned out of the palace garden into the palace of banquet of wine. And Haman had fallen upon the couch where Esther was. You don't do that. This is the king's wife. And then see what the king said. Then said the king, will he force the queen also before me in the house, let alone in my house? As the word went out of his mouth, the chamberlains, that's who it was, they covered Haman's face. That's one of the things you see with these Arabs over there. When they're going to slay somebody, they cover his face. They cover their own faces too. And Harbona, one of the chamberlains in attendance upon the king, said, "Behold also the gallows 50 cubits high, which Haman had made for Mordecai, who had spoken good for the king, standeth in the house of Haman." Then the king said, "Hang him on it." So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath pacified. But you see God's hand in all of this, and yet nowhere does it say even mention God. Here were the Jews. They were about to be slain from one end of the kingdom to the other. And the next chapter, we find that God has set this up for Mordecai to undo what had been done. Now, I'd like to go through a number of verses, but we don't have time. We'll rush through verse 8 and then maybe come back. On the day that the king, verse 1 of chapter 8, on the day that the king Ahasuerus gave the house of Haman of the Jews' enemy unto Esther the queen, and Mordecai came before the king, and Esther had told what he was unto her. And the king took off his ring, which he had taken from Haman, and gave it unto Mordecai, and Esther set Mordecai over the house of Haman. And Esther spoke yet again before the king, and fell down at his feet, and besought him with tears to put away the mischief of Haman the Agagite in his plot which he had devised against the Jews. Then the king held out the golden scepter toward Esther. So Esther arose and stood before the king and said, "If it please the king, and if I have found favor in his sight, and the king and the thing seem right before the king, and I be pleasing in his eyes, let it be written to reverse the letters devised by Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, which he wrote to destroy the Jews who are in all the king's provinces. For how can I endure to see evil, the evil that shall come upon my people? Or how can I endure to see the destruction of my kindred?" Then the king Ahasuerus said unto Esther the queen and to Mordecai the Jew, "Behold, I have given Esther the house of Haman, and him they have hanged upon the gallows, because he laid his hand upon the Jews. Write ye also concerning the Jews, as it pleaseth you, in the king's name, and seal it with the king's ring, for the writing which is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring, no man can reverse." They couldn't reverse the other laws. The law can't save you. Even the Ten Commandments, the law cannot save you. The law can only do one thing, that's condemn you. But it does one thing for you and me. It shows us we need what? A Savior. We need someone to take our place, someone to pay the price. And the Lord came from heaven to pay a price that none of us or all of us together could pay for. And that law couldn't be changed either. Verse 9. Then were the king's scribes called at that time in the third month, that is, the month of Sivan, on the 23rd and 20th day of it. And it was written according to all that Mordecai commanded unto the Jews and to the deputies and to the governors and the princes of the provinces and unto which are from India, unto Ethiopia and 120 and 7 provinces, unto every province according to its writing, and unto all people after their language, and to the Jews according to their writing, and according to their language. And he wrote in the name of King Ahasuerus, and sealed it with the king's ring, and sent letters by post on horseback, and riders on mules, camels, and young dromedaries, in which the king granted the Jews, who were in every city, to gather themselves together, to defend their lives, to destroy, to slay, and to cause to perish all the power of the people and province that would assault them, both little ones and women, and to take the properties of them for spoil, upon one day in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, namely, upon the 13th day of the 20th month, which is the month Adar, the copy of the writing for a commandment to be given in every province was published unto all the people, and that the Jews should be ready that for that day to avenge themselves on their enemies. So the post rode upon mules and camels, went out being hastened and pressed on by the king's commandment, and the decree was given at Shushan the palace. And Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal apparel of blue and white, which with a great crown of gold, and with a garment of fine linen and purple, and the city of Shushan rejoiced and was glad, and the Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor, and in every province, in every city, wherever the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a good day, and many of the people of the land became Jews, for fear of the Jews fell upon them. And the colors here would speak to us of a heavenly place. This was Mordecai, the clothing that he had placed upon him. And we see God's hand behind it all. How could all those things take place? Look what happened in that 8 hours between the two. One man was planning one thing. Another man couldn't sleep. And because the records were read, now why couldn't they have read some other portion of the records? No telling, there were books and books and books and books of records. But God saw to it that that portion was read. Why was it that Mordecai hadn't been appeased or even congratulated or thanked for what he had done for the king? And come to find out, nothing had been done. But God's hand was in that too. God wanted to do, or Haman, or the king rather, wanted to do something for this man that had saved his life. And all of a sudden, he is the number one man in the kingdom, next to the king himself. A few verses. Let us not forget Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? If we're honest with our own hearts, we know that. How many times have we made a determination in our minds to do a certain thing, and we fall flat on our face? And it may just be some little simple thing, and we can't do it. We can't do it without the help of God. Job. I'm looking the wrong way. Job 9:21. See how bad off I am. I could quote this thing. Though I were perfect, yet would I not know my soul. I would despise my life. Though he were perfect in everything, he still wouldn't know how deceitful his soul could be. And that's how our lives are. We still have two natures. Before we were saved, we didn't have to worry about it. We had one nature. We were lost. Satan had control. Now God has control, and yet we still have the old man in us that wants to trip us up. And if he can trip us up big time, it may not always be big time. It might be something simple, but it causes some other brother or sister to stumble. Or it may keep some person from being saved. I'd like to raise hands, but no need of that. How many people have ever heard of, I can't think his name now. The Indian, who used to starve himself. What's his name, anybody remember? Oh, he got a lot done. He was a well-educated man too. But you know what he said? He read the Bible. He said, you show me a man that can live by that book, and I'll become a Christian. So he wasn't able to find a man that could live by that book. Or those that were claimed to be Christians, he saw their weaknesses, their shortcomings. Yeah, but if you were wise enough, you could ask him, in his own group. How many there that live by their rule?
Gandhi.
That's it. Mahatma Gandhi. He got all his education from England in some of their biggest colleges. Mark, the 7th chapter. You should be able to quote this too.
Mark 7.
Mark 7, verse 21 to 23. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts. Now look at the order. Adulteries, fornication, and murders. And nowadays they just slap you on the wrist. And God put them at the top of the list. Then comes thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. And if we're honest, there are times that possibly the most of them touch your hearts, even to the murderer. Sometimes you're just so mad you just feel like you kill him. Well, it's been a long time since I've been that way, thank the Lord. I was rather young when I felt like that. It wasn't that you really meant to kill him, but you were just so angry you wanted to kill him. But the Lord says, it's in your heart. Now the adulteries and the thefts. Most don't want to admit to that, but it's there.
You say, why?
Why should it be? Well, partly, God has made us that way. Not
to do murder,
not to do adulteries, not to commit fornication. But you know, many of the girls left Ireland. Why?
You know, well, guys weren't interested in getting married.
So, see, sex is part of your makeup. It's to be held in control. It's to be used where it belongs in married life. If there wasn't such a thing, do you think boys would be bothered looking at girls or vice versa? Wouldn't be bothered. But it has to be kept under control. And murder is the same thing. You know, there's people that should be executed, but it's not our place to do it. The government's place to do it. It's done it all. John 3 and 6, that which is
born of the flesh is flesh,
that which is born
of the spirit is spirit.
We have two. We have both of that in us.
We're born in the flesh.
The Lord said, the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Did they die? They didn't die physically.
They died spiritually.
Prior to that time,
God would come in the cool of the evening and walk with them on top of them.
It didn't happen anymore after them. One time, when the Lord came down and he questioned them,
and they hid, they knew they had sinned. Never had a group before. And they had
covered themselves with what?
Fig leaves or whatever.
It was the work of their hands.
In most religious groups, you do something to get to heaven. Even
your
Mormons.
Of course, they're not going to heaven anymore.
Anyway.
But you watch them. See how zealous they are. Jehovah's Witnesses, look at them out there. And they're hurrying on to hell. These Mormon boys are peddling to hell. The Buddhists, it's a work. Shinto, all of them, it's a work.
That was through Adam and Eve did.
They covered themselves. But what happened? The Lord covered them with a skin.
That spoke of what? The Lord had to draw for him. One skin. And he covered him.
Speaking of our
precious Lord, the way he birthed them. God knew
exactly what that would mean.
He was going to do.
And still he loved us not with skin and all.
Lord
and Heavenly Father,
Father of
our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we thank you for the infinite love that has been bestowed upon mankind,
more particularly on the saints of God.
They are accepted in the Beloved. If accepted in the Beloved,
then accepted
as the Beloved.
God looks
at us, he sees his Son.
He sees us
as though we had been
on the cross.
He became our substitute. And the love that God has
for us
is infinite. It's a love that is equal to the love for his Son. It's hard for us to take such a thing in.
As well, we mentioned
earlier, we will be learning
for eternity,
but we will have perfect minds.
There will be no forgetfulness.
Everything will be there
at the tip of
our tongue the moment we need it. What a wonderful
Savior.
I have not seen or heard the things that God has prepared for those that love him. We see what he prepared
in the garden
for Adam and Eve. And he said,
1,000 years
to prepare a place
for
she was. All he has to do is speak it. We shouldn't be looking at that.
We should be looking
to see the
goodness of
the one that loved us
with
everlasting love.
May
that
be the desire
of all of us, that we might
look for that
precious hope, a glorious hope,
the
glorious appearing of our great
God
and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Father, we ask that thou would
be with each of us,
take us all to our separate homes,
safety. Think of
the funeral of our dear brother
Earl.
Think of the family.
That thou wouldst hold them up.
Hold them close to thyself.
And undoubtedly, there will
be those there.
Lost.
Pray for those that will be speaking
at
that meeting. Robbie being one of them. That thou
would,
not that the message
needs
to be long, it would be very clear
cut, and then
no
question
as to the way of
salvation
and the need of salvation for
each individual.
These things we ask in his name,
for his sake.
Amen.